and welcome to the Eclectic Hedge Witch podcast. So today, I just wanted to talk about spring. It's finally on its way. It hasn't fully hit for all of us. I know in my area, our winters get, well, it's cold. Well, this winter we got down to minus 50 degrees Celsius, so ridiculously cold, and then right now it's about zero most days, which is much, much nicer. So yeah, right now it's definitely starting to feel kind of like spring. The sun's starting to rise a little bit earlier in the morning. Now instead of when I'm on my way to work, it's just pure blackness outside. There's actually a little bit of light, which is so nice. Plus, I can actually go outside without freezing my butt off. So, talking spring, it's definitely a time where it's nice just to kind of get ready for the coming year. So, what I've been doing lately is I've been getting plants ready, basically. So I've been getting not only houseplants, but also I've been getting plants prepped for to go outside once it fully warms up. Some of them, it's just getting all the seeds and planting them inside and just getting them all to sprout a little bit. And once it warms up, they'll get tossed outside. Mainly because just because I'm impatient, not because there's any real purpose to that. I just want them here and I want them now, so I'm just growing everything inside right now. My windowsill is just way overcrowded from all these plants. Well, at least my good windowsill, the one that gets all the sunlight. So that's pretty much been my big thing, and I've been buying a lot of succulents too, because they're super difficult to kill and they make pretty houseplants. They're also really easy to like just take a cutting of and grow a new plant. So once I choose to take the time, I'm gonna get a bunch of cuttings together and grow a bunch of new plants and vastly multiply my houseplant situation. Because that's just what I like to do. I like to have plants, I like to have those little things to take care of. Plus, they're just so nice to have in your house, they're so awesome for you. Why not? Of course, unless you don't have the time to take care of them. But that's the nice thing about succulents, is that they thrive on neglect. I water them, like, once every couple weeks or so. Sometimes if they're looking good, I'll just leave them a bit longer, or just kind of wait till they start looking like they need a drink. Which isn't very frequently. They don't need much water even when I do water them. Because they're meant to live in ridiculous temperatures and ridiculous climates. They don't even need that much sunlight. A lot of them I keep in the areas of my house where there just isn't much direct sunlight, and they are doing just fine. Nothing, they don't really seem to care too much. I would say they're fake, except for some of them do have a little bit of, like, imperfections, I guess you could say, or one of them I accidentally snapped a little leaf off of. So they're definitely real, but no, if there wasn't those, I would just assume that these have to be fake plants because of how little care they need. Which is kind of nice to actually have something alive that you have to take very, very minimal care of. So, next thing. I just actually, this winter, moved into my first place that has a yard. I'm renting though, so I can't like dig up the yard and like plant a little garden or anything. But they are letting me put a bunch of hanging planters on like the fences and like things like that. So I'm gonna have planters everywhere this summer, which is exciting. So I'm just kind of counting down the days and keeping my eye on the amount of snows and the amount of snow outside, just waiting to slap my planters outside. I don't even have them yet, I'm just kind of waiting till everything's melted enough that I could probably get away with hanging them and not have anything die in them. But I'm feeling a little impatient because I just really want to have my nice summer plants. And on that note, if anybody has like their favorite kind of plant, indoor, outdoor, whatever, and why, totally let me know. I would like to know new things to add to my little collection. Like I said, right now it's mostly succulents, and then I have a few other random little things. Like I got a pot that I just started with for a strawberry plant, and another for some onion. And then I got another planter with radishes right now. Again, all indoors and scattered around windowsills. But that's just because those are practical and why not? Plus, like the strawberries and the radishes and stuff. Some of my pets can eat those, and those are nice. Oh, and I'm also growing like microgreen sprouts because depending on the plant, I have like a little mix that's all safe for my pets. But yeah, so I'm growing like sprouts for mainly for my bearded dragon. They're great to have in his little salads and stuff. Plus, then if I run out of fresh greens, I can just stick those in instead of having to just feed him something that may not be as nutritious. Because just stuff like regular lettuce and that has like no nutritional value. And bearded dragons, once they get to be adults, need mostly like fruits, veggies, and greens and stuff. And then like some insects. My husband normally feeds him. I'm trying to remember the exact split. I think it's like 75-25. I might be a little off on that there, but I'm not the one who feeds him his diet. Aside from the occasional salad, I mainly do all the care for the rats, and my husband does all the care for our bearded dragon. So we each kind of take on our own little set of animals. So one of us, like cleans their habitats, keeps up with their feeding schedules, whatever, and also, knows when we have to go running to the store for shit, which makes things a little easier. We each only have to figure out one. Oh yeah, another reason I'm excited for spring and summer and all that is being able to take them outside. Most of my rats, well, two out of three definitely don't like the outside. They don't like anything that's really outside their cage. They'd much just prefer to be in there where they feel safe. And then one of our rats is super explorative, is that the word? She likes to explore a lot, so she'll probably really like if we can get either a harness or even just like a little carrier we can just take her around in. We do have carriers, but it's not as free, like for her to just move around. Whereas if we had like a harness that she could actually stay in and we wouldn't have to worry about her slipping out, which probably isn't gonna happen because rats are super flexible, but that'd be really nice because then we could take her out and take her on little walks and stuff because she would probably love to go outside. Our bearded dragon, we haven't really taken him on any real adventures. But he does like to sit in the window and look outside and stuff. He gets really curious. So, my idea, and I'm probably going to sound a little crazy right now, I want to get those strollers that they make for like dogs where it's not like a baby stroller, like it looks like one from a distance, but in reality it's like a little flat area for them to sit in, and it has like a mesh cover. You can get like a mesh cover that folds over it so the dog doesn't just jump out, and like you can cover it from the sun and everything. So I want to get like one of those and then stick my bearded dragon in it, because the mesh cover, it would allow him to, not get freaked out because there's a harness on him or something, and also it'd be an easy way to make sure that he doesn't just suddenly run up to something he shouldn't have and try eating it. And then it'd be something safe and a nice way to take around, and that way we don't have to worry about whether or not he wants to run around or jump or do something dumb. It'd basically kind of idiot-proof it a little bit for him. I think it'd be fun going around in a stroller and somebody comes to see the baby. It's just my angry beardy. I think he'd like it, but at the same time, I am fully aware of how insane and crazy it would be to see somebody walking around with a lizard in a stroller. But that's good. That might be my summer. Who knows? We'll see. That might be what's in store for me, is being the crazy person doing that. There's crazier stuff in my city, so I'm not too worried about it. At most, I'll just get weird looks, and maybe I'll see a Reddit post about it. I don't know. But it'll be fun. So yeah, today's episode, I guess, isn't really as informative as I tried to make the other episodes. I've been kind of falling behind with them a little bit, just because, well, a combination of just life being ridiculously busy alongside not knowing what to really talk about. Normally just try to talk about whatever I've been kind of getting into with my practice lately, and over like the last week or so, there just hasn't been anything special or new aside from just my, like, I don't know, I guess my regular routine, and nothing that I felt like was worth talking about. I just haven't, it's not even that I haven't had the time, I just haven't had the energy or the, not even necessarily that I haven't had the need to do anything, I just haven't been in the right state of mind to sit down and practice aside from my regular, like, day-to-day, I guess you could call, like, maintenance things. I don't even know why. That's not the right name. I guess just my day-to-day stuff. So the only things I really do day-to-day is just, like, refresh any offerings on the altar, things like that. Just make sure everything's looking okay, tidy it up a little bit, and aside from that, I don't really do a whole heck of a lot. Cleanse anything that needs cleansing, usually just by sticking it in salt. Like my jewelry that I wore that day or something. Aside from that, not a whole heck of a lot has really been going on for me in that aspect. I don't know, everybody says that Mercury retrograde and stuff is when all that kind of tends to be also happens. I'm not super big on astrology. Like, I do follow, like, the moon phases and stuff when it comes to when I schedule, like, my rituals and that, but I don't base very much of my practice off of astrology, so I wasn't, and in the past I've never really felt affected by Mercury retrograde. Granted, I never really paid attention to it before this year, really. So maybe that's why I'm suddenly noticing all this stuff. But yeah, ever since it started, I just have not been in the right place most days for any of this. Who knows, maybe once it's finally over, which is coming up fairly soon, I'll finally be in that right headspace and I'll be able to just kind of continue on. But I've been taking the time instead just to kind of reflect, try to figure my crap out. I've also been reading some books that I bought that have just sort of been sitting there that I bought to read and then never read. So, yeah, the book that I'm working on right now is The Witch's Book of Spirits by Devin Hunter. So far, it's really good. I'm not quite halfway through yet. Close to. And I've also completely read his other book, The Witch's Book of Power. So that one is a really, really awesome read. I think his books are definitely, or at least the Witch Power kind of series, is definitely meant for maybe more of an intermediate to advanced practitioner. I wouldn't recommend it for a newbie. That's mostly just because I think it would be a lot to take on, and I feel like it's written with the assumption that you're already a witch, you're already comfortable in your craft, and I feel like unless you're sort of already there, it's gonna be quite a bit to try to kind of take on reading, and it's gonna be a bit much to go through and to try some of the practices and stuff that he suggests in those books, unless you're already kind of, like, really into it. So I wouldn't suggest those for someone who's new to witchcraft or paganism or Wicca or whatever. It's definitely meant for someone who's a bit further along, which is super nice, because when I came across that book, that's exactly what I was looking for. Because in my area, like, granted, I don't find many books that are, like the metaphysical and curio and New Age, witchcraft, like all those shops, types of shops in my area, they don't sell many books, and the few that they do normally just don't really jive with what I go for, or they're just not, I don't know, there's just not much to go off of. And then if I go to, like, actual, like, just regular bookstores, most of the books that they have are books that I wouldn't really recommend, and the few that they do have that are good are usually either meant for, like, people who are brand new or things like that. So it's a little, it was nice to finally find that, I guess, is what I'm getting at. But so yeah, the Witch Power series, I ended up buying all three. And so yeah, the Witch's Book of Power is really, really great. I would definitely recommend it for quite literally anyone, any type of witch. I think it would be, because like not everything in it is necessarily stuff that aligns with me, or I think that I would continue to incorporate into my practice, or continue to bring in, I guess. It's not all necessarily stuff that aligns with me, but I do think it's all very, very valuable, and a lot of the information in it was a nice kind of refreshing take on things revolving around witchcraft and power in general, which is super nice, because it's bringing back that idea of, you're a witch, you have power, you can do things, and that's not a bad thing. Right at the beginning, he kind of addresses the fact that of how a lot of people like to kind of tone down what witchcraft is and the kind of power it can really provide to you and the kind of empowerment it can give you. Just because the idea of power is often portrayed as sort of like an evil thing and like we shouldn't ever want that, but and he kind of challenges that idea by saying, but then what? Do you just want to be powerless? Like, no, you don't. and I don't. It was definitely kind of like a nice, refreshing take on that. And then I'm in the Witch's Book of Spirits right now. It's kind of talking about the different kinds of spirits, the different kinds of spiritual connections, about like tuning into kind of that place and trying to really just learn how to communicate if you don't already, or how to interpret things. And it's very nice, and there's lots of, I like that his books also, sorry, one sec, gonna sneeze. Okay. Whew, okay, where was I there? Oh yeah, so Witch's Book of Spirits, that's where I was. He really talks about things like he includes practices and different activities to try and like and a lot of journal prompts also. That's another big thing that I like. In the books is that at the end of every chapter, there's kind of like journal prompts about everything that was in the chapter. Well, not like everything, but like about the chapter as a whole, and encourages you to like write down your experiences, your thoughts, about any of the things that you tried through it, along with how you feel about the things mentioned. And it's really nice because I like it because it gives me a chance to kind of sit down and actually like process what I read and process what I tried and think about it and really relate what's said in this book to what I'm doing in my craft. And I think that's an awesome idea. I wish more books had that. Another book that I actually, another book, different writer, that is really, really awesome and also kind of interactive like that. It's called Sigil Witchery. One sec here. I'm just gonna grab it. Yeah. So it's called Sigil Witchery by Laura Tempest Zakharoff. And it's a really, really awesome book about crafting sigils. It's a less traditional approach than what you'd probably read elsewhere to sigil making, but I found it to be super, super valuable, and I think it was very, very thorough in really making a sigil that is more meaningful to you specifically. And as just opposed to some of the methods that some people use, where it's like, oh, just grab something online or whatever. It's really nice, and it makes you sit down and think and really connect with what you're doing. So yeah, those are a few good books. Another book that I have that I haven't read yet, well, two books that I haven't read yet. It's another one by Devin Hunter, The Witch's Book of Mysteries. I have not read it yet, so I'll pop back in on that once I have. And another one is Fairy Witchcraft, sorry, The Forbidden Mysteries of Fairy Witchcraft by Storm Fairywolf. I read the intro to it, but I haven't actually like dived into it yet. It seems like it's going to be an interesting read, but we'll find out once I actually get into it. I have no doubts that it's going to be great though, because I've heard good things about this guy's work. So yeah, hopefully those turn out to all be great. So yeah, reading books on witchcraft, while it's not the only way to get information, for me, it's a nice way just to kind of learn more on my own pace because I don't really I don't have like a coven or a group of witches that I regularly see or interact with or trade information with or anything. For me, it's mostly just online communities and then through whatever kind of research I do or books I get, podcasts, things like that. So for the most part, while I am trying to pull in info from as many different sources as possible, it's also a matter of I'm not really physically in the room with other witches most of the time. Occasionally, like, I have known other, like, witchy people and things like that who I would see on a regular basis, but it'd usually be for things like we just happen to be coworkers or whatever, but it was never, like, a coven type deal. That's just, well, there's a few reasons for why I'm also a loner in witchcraft. Number one is I get super bad social anxiety a lot of the times, and I'm incredibly introverted, and I'm also very shy, so not all of those things are always interconnected. You could just be one or none or all. So I happen to be all of those things, so social activity is not always my friend. Most of the time, it's not. I'm not very great at it. I imagine if I got comfortable with a group of people, it'd be fine, but it's very much just that doorway of getting in there, meeting up with people, saying hi, and actually practicing together that idea freaks me out because, like I said, not great with social activity. So that's kind of mainly the reason why I've chosen to just sort of be a loner. It allows me to be comfortable in what I do. Plus, I'm kind of stubborn and don't like to compromise, and I feel like if I had to practice with other, or if I chose to practice with other people, I guess, to some degree, I'd have to do things somewhat their way, some way my way. Like, even if we had, for the most part, a general agreement, there would still have to be compromise. And I am a little bit, well, it's not that I couldn't compromise, but I would just much rather do it all my way. And then maybe if I had to occasionally ask for help from someone, but for the most part, I just kind of do things my own, and if I need help, I ask a spirit or something. Or familiar or whoever, and they help me as opposed to going and finding a person. So, if anybody else has that experience, let me know. Just that way I know I'm not I know I'm not alone in being a loner, but also I'm kind of wondering as to how many of us are just kind of doing all this alone because we're a little freaked out by the outside world. It'd be nice to know because I don't know. Because I don't go out there, so I don't get the chance to interact with all the other people who also just aren't going out there. Like, obviously I go out for like my day-to-day life, like I have to go out for my job, but if I could just stay home, I totally would. But yeah, no, I have to be at the office and working and physically there, which is actually funny because I don't think my job requires me to be physically present. I could totally work from home, but whatever, it is what it is. I go in, I leave, they pay me, it's fine. So, what was I gonna ramble about next here? Oh yeah, okay, I remember. It was going to be that I kind of saw this, I think it was an Instagram or something that I saw, but I started doing it. So right now, for all like the ashes from like incense or burned herbs or anything like that, I'm sticking them in a little jar right now. I don't burn a lot of stuff, just because I don't have a great place to burn it. Plus, I can't have a lot of smoke in my area, just due to the fact that my husband has asthma and my rats have super sensitive respiratory systems. So for the most part, I don't really burn things. Or if I do, I do it in a very controlled environment, away from all of them, like next to the window, or just go outside, just to avoid triggering any of them. So, like, yeah, it'll either be opposite side of the house with the windows open, door tightly sealed, and all that. But so, yeah, I don't have a lot of ashes, but I'm slowly saving them, and I'm gonna mix a little bit of dragon's blood resin with them, and then once I've got enough, put a little bit of water in, and I'm gonna use it to just like paint with, or maybe use like an ink and. Just use that for artwork, which, yeah, I saw that on Instagram. At least I think that's where I saw it. And I thought that was a super neat idea for just kind of reusing those things and taking all of that and making something new out of it. So I've got a little jar just sitting there that's got hardly anything in it, but we'll get there eventually. Also, speaking of jars, does anybody else also, when you're just, like, done with any kind of jar, like, the one that I'm saving the ashes in right now is an old yeast jar, because I bake a lot of bread. So, yeah, the look on my husband's face when he just sees me, like cleaning out this yeast jar and then shuffling away with it into our bedroom. He was a little confused as to what the hell I was doing. So it's just like, no, never mind, it's one of my jars, I need another jar. And I'm not gonna buy a jar when there's a perfectly good one here. And yeah, so I'm just constantly saving the jars from everything, and I keep telling him not to throw away jars when he's, like, if there's one for, like, pasta sauce or something, just, you know, save the jar, and he rarely does, but that's fine, he never thinks of it, because he's not also sitting there, like, with the brain of a crow like I apparently have, where I just see this jar, and I'm like, I need to keep it and put little trinkets in it, and what? And once I've put enough things in it and done whatever with it, I'll melt a bunch of wax to seal it. And, you know, you don't have that little immediate thought of all these things that you're going to put on it and all this stuff you're going to do with this jar. Because for whatever reason, I think at least most of us get a little excited when we see jars. Oh, and speaking of jars, because I just looked over and I saw one of them right now. I found at the dollar store a bunch of, like, itty-bitty little, like, glass jars with, like, cork lids that had little, like, rolled-up pieces of paper inside with like, little ties around them, and it was just, like, a little message in bottle jars or whatever. And I saw it and immediately just grabbed it. And, yeah, all the paper inside is blank. There's different colored papers, so I was like, oh my god, perfect little, like, itty-bitty spell jars. It's funny how, like, little things like that I never used to really care about, but now that, like, you know, I've been doing witchcraft for a while, I see those things and immediately my brain just goes, I need it! Because suddenly all those little things are magical, wonderful, and insane things that bring you a crazy amount of joy, and it's gonna cost you a buck, and that's fine. You're just gonna fill it with crap once you find the right use or intention for it and stick it wherever. Yeah, it's funny how that's kind of how it goes. But yeah, so today's episode, I guess, wasn't probably that informative. It was more of just a check-in, more of a ramble. But I haven't been in a place where I've been really growing in my craft as much as I would like to, and I feel like I have nothing nice and fun to report on or say that it hasn't been said a million times before everywhere else. And I want to keep it at least a little fresh once in a while, well, or most of the time if I can, because yeah, nobody wants to hear the same few things that they've heard a million times over about, like, oh, here's, you know, here's your colors for this and here's your thing for that, unless it's maybe in regards to something really, like, specific. Yeah, I feel like most of the time we've all heard the same few things over and over and over, and at some point that's just eh. Like, once you know, like, when you're a baby witch, I totally get it. You need to, you know, learn all those things for the first time. But I feel like once most of us get past that baby witch phase, which we all do eventually, you get a little bored of just hearing the same stuff over and over and over. Because, yeah, we all eventually figure out what starts to work for us and what doesn't. And I'd much rather just talk about the things that aren't those super, super, like, beginner basics. Which, while that's not necessarily all I've been doing, some days it's definitely more so just rambling or whatever, but, yeah, that's what today is, I guess. Alright, well, I think that's it for today. I will talk to you guys hopefully next week. Hopefully I won't be late again. But, yeah, thanks for listening, and if you want to reach out for any ideas or any other reason, or just say, hey, what's up, or feedback, or if you have ideas for podcasts, there we go, that's the word. If you have any ideas for things that you'd like me to talk about, or questions, or whatever else, you can either email me at eclectichedge@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram at eclectichedgepodcast,
And I'll hopefully talk to you there. If I don't maybe respond in there, I might respond in a video or maybe both. I don't know. Nobody DMs me, so we'll see. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.